In the Garden with Rosie on the House here this beautiful Saturday morning, broadcasting live from the Tucson Convention Center. It's kind of quiet in here right now, but about 10 o'clock it'll get noisy when the doors open. It's the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. Love coming down and being a part of Southern Arizona's activities here. We've got Carol calling from Gilbert. Let's see if we can take care of her as we progress along here in the Landscape Show. Good morning, Carol.
Hey, how are you doing?
Yeah, really well.
Okay, good. Hey, so I've got a Bradford pear that we planted a year and a half ago or whatever. And I think over the summer it started getting yellow leaves, like on the outside, and not all of them, but, you know, it sort of yellow ends the branches and kind of brownish. And I kind of Googled it, and it seemed like it might have been too much watering. It's on a, it had its drip set up originally, but then it's also in an irrigation place. So I don't know if that's what it was. So I capped all the irrigation or the drip thing, so it's only getting the irrigation now, but it's still got like super brown leaves.
Yeah. So how long does
that stuff off? Or?
Well, how long and how often does your irrigation run?
Just, you know, twice a month, and now it'll go back to once a month.
Yeah, okay, so twice a month in the summertime you're watering, and how long do you, is it a flood irrigation or?
Yeah, flood irrigation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you might have a high salt in the soil, which can lead to chlorosis, which will be real visible in a Bradford pear, because they're susceptible to iron chlorosis more than, say, a mesquite tree.
Okay.
So the signs of iron chlorosis are the leaves will be yellowed margins with green veins still going through the leaf. When they that happens, they lose their green pigment that protects them from the sun, and they start to sunburn.
Okay.
Do you see your leaves having the green veins and the yellow margins?
Yeah, so like if I look at it, I'm looking at them right now. They're, you know, as the leaf goes down, the sides are even brown, you know, like dead. Then
right.
It goes yellow, and then it's green in the middle.
Sounds like you have iron chlorosis, which is a really common problem with Bradford pears. Fairly easy to correct. You can.
That's the good news.
Yeah. You can apply some chelated iron. It's an iron that's in a form that's easily absorbed by the roots of the pear tree. Go ahead and apply that now. It's not going to hurt. It's not too late in the season to do that. But also maybe give it an extra flooding of irrigation or open up those irrigation lines again, because you can't really overwater a Bradford pear, but you can with the shallow, you know, I know you're flood irrigating, but still the salts, you want to flush those out of the out of that root zone, which may need, you may need to drag the hose over there and just let it flood irrigate for, on a slow trickle for several hours.
So this product you're recommending to apply to, is that a powder? Is that a liquid? Is it
it's a
solution?
It's a powder you dissolve in water.
Okay.
And then you can just...
Chelated iron. Ironite is a brand name, so that's what you want. Yeah, any of that will work.
Okay.
As long as it's a chelated iron, which ironite is, but there are other ironite brand names.
Okay.
And any of them will work. And you.
And
you know,
I'm a big believer, if a little does a little good, a whole lot does a whole lot better.
Well, you know, you can't really burn with iron. That's true. But you don't, you know, the tree can only take so much, so you'd be wasting it after a certain point. But some of the older formulations will stain concrete, so be careful with that. But go ahead and do that, and maybe you might need to do that, you know, up to three times a year to keep that chlorosis at bay.
Fantastic. Carol, sounds like we nipped that pear tree problem right in the bud. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Hey, we just got a nice message from the call screener station.
Yeah.
That Dave, who's a local landscaper here in Tucson, gave a shout-out to Savanos for this, the great products they have, and just couldn't say enough nice things about them.
Y'all do a lot of wholesale distributing to the
landscape
contractors?
Yeah, we have a 70-acre farm down in Sahorita.
Yeah.
Or Sahorita.
Okay, yeah.
And, so 70 acres of product coming out of there. We're pumping out plants daily down there.
Okay. I want to come see that. That sounds
good. Quite the operation. Lots of greenhouses. We had some damage from a monsoon storm about a month ago, you know, really crushed some greenhouses, but we still have a lot standing.
Okay. That's good news.
Ouch.
That's the good news. Hey, last week we were talking a lot about native plants and can you harvest them? And I did some research this week, and basically
That's sweet Jennifer's job. When we get stumped on the air Saturday, she researches it. So thanks for doing that.
Well, if you don't want to go through all the legal...
The call last week had to do with harvesting saguaro ribs, right? Wasn't that what she was wondering about?
I think basically what started was Bill, our host last week, just loves to recommend native plants. And so I think Romy asked, can we just go out and harvest? And basically, if it's not in your yard, it doesn't belong to you. Right. So that's kind of the bottom line. If you want to harvest something out of the desert, you need to get a hold of Arizona Department of Agriculture and get a permit. And that includes for anything from chopping wood to saguaro ribs, anything you want to harvest out of the desert, you have to have. Now, the way I read it, I think prickly pear, you can harvest fruit. I think.
Yeah, there's no
without a permit.
Prickly pear fruit is not protected, and seeds of many things are you can go harvest without getting a permit. But yeah, the plants themselves, digging them up out of the ground, you would really need to get a permit, and you're still going to have restrictions there. You're only going to be able to harvest out of certain areas in the national forest and in certain areas on BLM land. Otherwise, you can't harvest anything in the national monuments, so there are great restrictions, and for a reason. You don't want everybody out there just...
There'd be nothing left, right?
There'd be nothing left.
We'd all have pretty yards, though.
Yeah.
Hey, so on this list, it gives you prices for different permits, and it says saguaro tag. Can you really harvest a saguaro?
No, you can't. What that tag is, the Arizona cactus laws are designed to prevent transportation of our native saguaros out of the state, so to Texas or California, which has been a problem in the past. So the law is that if you're going to transport a cactus in Arizona, it needs to have a permit, $8 permit tag on it.
So that's a transport tag. That's not a digging tag.
It's a transport tag. And if you're going to, if you want to move a saguaro on your own property, you do not need to get that tag. But if you're going to plant it at your grandmother's house, you need to get a tag. Or you could face fines.
Well, I just don't think you can be too careful. And I think it's really hard to figure out what they're saying in some of this stuff. So your best bet is just to call the Arizona Department of Agriculture if you have any plans that you'd like to go in that direction and get something out of the desert.
Fantastic. Let's go to John, who's calling from Tucson. John, good morning. Welcome to Rosie on the House. What's your question?
Thank you. I have a cactus that appears to have some kind of blight on it. I'd lost one a couple of years ago with a similar situation. I'm wondering if there's anything I can do about it.
What kind of cactus is it, John?
It's difficult for me to determine.
Is it a
tall,
prickly pear?
Solid stalk with an ear on it that's something like a prickly pear ear, but without the needles.
Does the blight seem to be like white fungus?
Yeah. A white pasty substance, a powdery substance.
Yeah. You'll be interested to find out that it's actually not a fungus or blight. It's an insect called cochineal scale, and it's very common on our prickly pear cactus.
Okay.
It's easy to take care of. With a strong stream of water, you can knock that right off, and then they won't climb back up on there. It's hard to treat with sprays because that waxy fuzz that they produce protects them from sprays. So, just set your nozzle sprayer to jet and jet them off of that cactus with the water. It does have an interesting history, this cochineal scale. The Navajos collect those because if you notice, you might want to do this before you knock them off of there. Grab one with a stick, of course, because they're near the spines, and smash one. You'll notice this beautiful magenta red color that they produce. The Navajos collect that, and they dye their rugs, their wool rugs with that. And it has been used in Mexico for centuries for different reasons. And, it's been in the news recently that cochineal extract that they've been using as a food coloring for centuries. They've been using it as a food coloring, but I guess vegans have a problem with it now because it's a bug. And they put it in fruit juices as a red coloring. And so that's been the controversy.
Uh-oh. So that every question you've taken this morning has really been a fairly simple solution. So this really is just hosing the cactus off?
No chemicals needed, just strong stream of water and knock those off. You don't want to leave them on there because they can really suck the life out of a cactus.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we've got another call from Avondale. Let's bring in, it's another John. John, good morning. Calling from Avondale. Welcome to Rosie on the House.
Morning,
how can we help?
Hey, I love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I had some I nursery sold me some Vicus a couple years ago, three big ones, 36-inch box trees. They froze out, right, first year. So then they sold me three Japanese privet single trunk trees, and they died out because apparently they didn't set the watering system right. So they brought me in these three Japanese privets with multi-trunks, a month and one day ago they planted them. One of them looks, they're big 36-inch trees. They're about 15 feet tall or 12 feet tall. But one of them, the leaves are all droopy, you know, kind of yellowish. But two of them have lost like 95% of their leaves. They look like bare trunk trees.
Yeah.
Do you know what the watering schedule is?
Yeah. Well, because they only put three little drip legs on it, okay? Yeah. So I've got the drips running every other day for 6 hours just to give them a lot of water. And then I've been soaking them three times a week, you know, just with the hose.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like you're giving them enough water. You know, you want to make sure that you're getting, that's 36 inches, you know, the roots 36 inches deep. You've got to get the water down to those roots and the surrounding roots. I would add more emitters on such a big root ball. That should help.
Let me ask you, though. Here's my question. Because this is the third time they brought trees in, every time they bring a new tree in, the well itself has gotten higher above the ground, you know? So I'm just wondering if the soaking is going to stay in the well.
You want to make sure that you have a nice berm around there to hold that water in. You know, if it ever rains, you know, you can hold that water in. If you're dripping, that well is not going to make a difference. But it sounds like that, you know, it's in a month and a half, if it's dropped all of its leaves, it's got to be not enough water, because if it was too much water, you would see algae growing underneath the tree. You would see cattails possibly sprouting. and then the tree would suffer. I mean, it takes a long time to drown out a tree in too much water. But, you know, a new tree a month and a half ago, remember, it was 100 and plus.
Man.
So I think that's what you're looking at is not enough water, even though you're giving it a ton. As it cools off here, you should start to see some new growth in the next month or two before it gets too cold for new growth.
Appreciate the call, John. Thanks a million for trusting your question to us here at Rosie on the House. We're going to take a quick break, but again, I want to remind everybody down here in the Tucson market, if you get to Savano Nurseries today, mentioned you heard Eric on the Rosie on the House program this morning, they have a special for you on 20% off any shade trees, as well as a special on your Colorado geraniums.
Yeah, the 6-inch Colorado geraniums.
So those are a perfect opportunity if you're out running around in that part of town and want to do a little landscaping. You've got folks there to kind of help them and coach them along and make sure they get it planted and taken care of.
Excellent staff today, and they're open from 8:30 to 5 today.
Very good. Folks, we're going to be right back after this short break.